Mikey's Breakfast on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM on a glorious Wednesday morning. Now, on the phone, I've got Professor Bic Kotecha, who's an ear, nose and throat surgeon from Nuffield Health, who are one of the sponsors here at Phoenix FM. Morning, Professor Bic. Can I call you Bic?
Yes, of course you can.
So, how long have you been an ear, nose and throat surgeon?
I've been doing ear, nose and throat surgery for nearly 3 decades now, nearly 30 years.
Wow. Is it a long job to train for? Because it covers the basic canal in the centre of the head, doesn't it?
It does. So, I mean, all three areas, ear, nose and throat, are all important, and it does take a long time. So in order to become a consultant, it's nearly about 8 to 10 years of training after you qualify as a doctor. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's fairly intense.
Oh, wow. So that would explain why, if I've got an earache sometimes, I get a strange taste at the back of my mouth.
Yes, you can do. So they're all related, interrelated. The ear, nose and throat are interrelated, so you can get problems with one or more of those regions simultaneously.
Now, the biggest area that people have problems with in this area is snoring in bed. So
yes,
have you got any...
That's a very, very common problem.
Now you see these little quick help things where they've got to sew tennis balls into your pyjamas at the back so you don't lay on your back and you lay on your side. But is there a quicker, easier way to cure this?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's important to understand that, you know, with snoring, is it just simple snoring that you've got, or is it hiding an underlying disorder called obstructive sleep apnea?
Ah.
Because if you've got obstructive sleep apnea and you leave that untreated, then you could end up with more problems like ischemic heart disease, type 2 diabetes, strokes, dementia.
Really?
So, absolutely. So what happens in snoring, when a patient snores, they have a very turbulent airflow. And so they make the noise, the snoring noise. But in some cases, when this airflow is turbulent, it actually obstructs the airflow and the patients have oxygen deprivation. And as a result, the oxygen deprivation wakes the patient up, they wake up, they breathe again, they snore again, they stop again. And that cycle repeats itself. And as a result, if you've got sleep apnea, your heart and your brain will get deprived of oxygen. So it's extremely important to identify whether you're just a simple snorer or you have sleep apnea.
Wow. I've got a friend that's got sleep apnea, and he wore the mask to bed at one particular point because they wanted to see how many times he woke up. It was something ridiculous, like 100 times a night he was waking. It was stupid.
Yeah,
amount.
Yeah. I mean, we know that if you stop breathing more than 15 times an hour, then you desperately need treatment. So you need to go and see your GP and have a sleep study done. The sleep study is an equipment that you wear at night time that monitors your oxygen saturations, your breathing and your breath holding and your snoring. And that tells you whether you're just a simple snorer or whether you have sleep apnea. And if you've got sleep apnea, then the treatment is different. If you don't have sleep apnea, then the treatment is different.
So if you do have sleep apnea, is it actually something that's blocking the airway, or is it because you just go and stop breathing for a moment?
And so there are two types of sleep apnea. One is the obstructive sleep apnea, which is the most common one, and that implies that the airflow is obstructed. Now, it could be obstructed because the back of the tongue is very bulky and it's blocking your airway, or patients might have large tonsils, or they might have a problem with the nose, like nasal polyps or a deviated septum. They may be overweight. So if you're overweight, then you get a lot of fat deposition around the tongue and around the neck, and that can block your airway.
Oh.
Or if you drink a lot of alcohol is a muscle relaxant. So alcohol can relax your muscles so much so that they will block the airway. So all those things have to be taken into consideration when you're evaluating these patients.
So with the sleep apnea thing and the airways being blocked, is it an operation or can you just take pills for this, or is it training, or how do you get around it?
So if you've got severe sleep apnea, we normally recommend what's called nasal continuous positive airway pressure therapy, CPAP. So that's a mask that you end up wearing every night for the rest of your life.
Oh, wow.
That's if you've got very severe sleep apnea and you have to sleep with it. And it does work, because generally speaking, patients with sleep apnea will complain that they don't sleep very well. They wake up feeling very tired. They're very unrefreshed. They get headaches. They get daytime sleepiness. Once they start using this machine, the CPAP machine, they feel much better. They feel refreshed. They don't feel tired. They're more energetic. But in some cases, they can't use the CPAP machine because maybe they've got a problem inside the nose, like a deviated septum or polyps. And when you operate on the nose, then they can use the CPAP better. In some cases, you can operate and provide surgical therapy instead of the CPAP therapy. So it depends on an individual case. Some patients are appropriately selected for surgery. Some people are not suitable for surgery.
Now, I know this Friday coming, it's a special day for sleepers, isn't it?
Yeah, it's no snoring or stop snoring day. So it's a good opportunity for snorers and their partners to try and get help. You know, sometimes it's the partner's sleep that is
oh, yes.
Fragmented because of the patient snoring. So both are suffering, and sleep deprivation is really, really a major impact on daytime performance. So it's important to get that sorted out.
Do you find that when you have a day like this Friday coming up, do you find you get an influx of people looking into this, or is it just a constant all-year-round workflow?
I mean, no. I think we do. You know, the classical times is just after the festive season. It was very busy because people were indulging in alcohol and putting on weight, and snoring becomes worse. Then they get help. And something like the no snoring day or stop snoring day will encourage people to seek help. There is so much about, and it's not all about surgery or CPAP machine. You can get oral appliances like a gum shield made by your dentist, and that can help you with it at night. And you know, more recently, I did some research on a very innovative device called Excite OSA.
Oh.
So it's a device that you use during wakefulness. You don't have to use it during sleep. And it's like taking your tongue to the gym and training it, because this device, you put it inside your mouth for 20 minutes a day for 6 weeks, and it provides a very mild electrical current, and it tones the muscles of the tongue so it doesn't drop back in your sleep.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't occlude your upper airway. So it's a very nice new device, which is suitable for some individuals, not everybody, but for simple snorers, it is definitely worth looking into it. It's called Excite OSA. That's Excite OSA. And it's a new device which would work in slimmer individuals and who've just got simple snoring.
Do you know, I never realized there was so much behind snoring. I just thought it was a strange noise you made. Professor Bik Kotecha, thank you so much for clearing that up for us today. And hopefully, fingers crossed, you get an influx now from this. So you've got more people, more workload from me. And hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
I'm sure. I mean, the Nuffield Hospital provides consultations, and sleep studies can be arranged, and also all the treatments are available. So it'll be good to see the patients and try and help them out.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sparing the time for us this morning.
My pleasure.